This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Generations of the secret history of rebel culture, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
called Because.
You know, just because. Because the wars seem endless. And because the seas are rising. And because the future may be foreclosed. And because we are sick and tired of lies. We the people of the United States have done what everyone told us was impossible. Impossible. After which everyone threw a party. So, okay, is that it? Or is it time for us to make some demands? What you need to know. Is that heat from the sun is trapped by greenhouse gases in the atmosphere warming the earth making life possible. You need to know that burning oil and coal emits extra greenhouse gases, causing the earth to overheat. Causing drought. Melting the polar ice cap. Causing the seas to rise and the land to flood. You need to know that when the temperature at the ocean surface reaches 80 degrees, hot air rises off the water, then cooling in the upper atmosphere. The air falls. Causing a vortex. Becoming a hurricane. And the cities bleed. And you need to know that forests trap greenhouse gases. And cutting down forests releases these gases. So if we stop logging and replace oil and coal with other forms of energy, then the earth can slowly heal. An automobile is a machine for transportation. A multinational corporation is a machine for making money. They're not in business to do anything else. So they won't stop unless we stop them. The fight for survival is human nature. So we the people will rise up against these corporations. What you need to know is that you are the solution.
So, are you guys still calling yourselves improvised explosive device?
I guess or something. Eric are, but I don't know if anybody else is.
Well, Seth DeBachman on vocals, and those were your words, Seth, and you have images to go along with them, of course. Do you want to introduce the rest of the band?
Sure. This is Andy Ladies on saxophone and garden hose.
Garden hose.
Good evening.
And Steve Wishnia on bass.
A big double bass, much to my surprise. Not an easy thing to lug around.
And Eric Blitz on drums.
And we're also joined by Victoria Law, who is the author of a new book entitled Resistance Behind Bars, The Struggles of Incarcerated Women. From PM Press, and you're all here to promote an event. Why doesn't somebody tell me something about it?
The event is this Friday. It is a night of art and resistance, and it is a benefit for Books Through Bars New York City. Books Through Bars sends free books and other reading material to people incarcerated nationwide. So it will be Seth Tabachman with his band, Peter Cooper, artist from the Just Seeds Visual Arts Collective, and then I'll be talking about education and resistance in women's facilities nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Which you've just written a book about.
Yes.
Which I just received moments ago, so I have not had time to read it yet. But maybe you can tell us something about it or read a passage if you'd like to.
Well, the book started as a research project about resistance and organizing post-Attica. And I did a semester's worth of research while I was an undergraduate in college. And at the end of the semester, I looked at everything I had and I said, why is it all men? Where are the women in this? And so I started asking people who had been involved in prisoner rights organizing, prison reform, people in prison who were prisoner organizers, and I said, what are the women doing about prison injustices? And the response I got was, women don't organize, women don't network. There is no resistance among women in prison.
Indeed. Who gave you this response?
People who were doing work around the Rockefeller drug law reforms, people who are working with men incarcerated in upstate New York facilities, people in colleges, prisoner organizers across the country who were doing study groups, labor organizing, some sort of organizing and resistance in their male facilities. And none of them knew what women were doing. So I decided that I was going to actually start looking into what incarcerated women's issues were, what their concerns were, and how they were different from what men were looking at, and then how their ways of resistance and organizing differed.
So how did you go about starting this research?
Well, it was two things. I did a lot of reading. Like, I just backed up and tried to forget everything I knew about what prisoner resistance looked like and started looking at the issues that incarcerated women face. So I found that the overwhelming majority of them are parents. Because of the way that society is structured, many women were single heads of household before they went to prison. Their children are five times more likely to end up in the foster care system than incarcerated fathers, because when a father goes to prison, a lot of times a girlfriend, a mother, a wife, some female relative will step up and take care of his children. When a mother goes to prison, it's five times more likely that there is no spouse or boyfriend or other relative who will be able to take care of her children, and so her children end up in the foster care system. And with the passing of the 1997 Federal Adoption and Safe Families Act, this means that women are much more likely to lose their children. Under the Federal Adoption and Safe Families Act, if a child has been in foster care for 15 of the past 22 months, the state automatically moves to terminate parental rights. And there is no way for a parent to get his or her rights back after this has happened. And again, because so many women who go to prison have been single heads of household before going to prison, this has affected them disproportionately. But you're not seeing women. Women aren't necessarily doing things like rioting, work strikes, hunger strikes, and visible forms of resistance that people can look at and say, aha, this is what they did this week about this issue. Oftentimes, it's working clandestinely to set up programs to see their children, or if they have a somewhat friendly prison administration, working with the prison administration or outside groups to facilitate their being programmed so that they can keep in contact with their children.
When you say clandestinely, how is it possible to do anything clandestinely between behind bars and the outside world like that?
Well, I'll give one example because this woman said that I could give this example. One woman who was incarcerated in a federal prison 300 miles north of Miami hadn't seen her children because she was 300 miles away from them. And when you look at who goes to prison, it's usually people who can't afford to trek 300 miles to go see an incarcerated loved one. And she read about a program sponsored by a church or another religious organization that paid for buses for children to go see their incarcerated parents in West Virginia. So she asked around her prison and found out that there was no such program in Florida for any of the women there. So she wrote to every single church, religious organization, civil rights organization, individual, anyone she could get an address for, and said, hello, we are incarcerated 300 miles away from Miami, which is where a lot of our children live. We have not seen our children since we have been here. Would your organization be willing to raise the funds to pay for a bus so that our children and their caretakers can come and see us? And she did this despite the fact that there was a risk that she could get an additional indictment and an additional charge for soliciting, which you're not allowed to do. As a prisoner, you're not allowed to write to people on the outside and ask them to do things for you. She wasn't allowed to ask any of the volunteers that came into the prison for religious services or recreational programs, because as volunteers, they weren't allowed to be associated with the prisoners outside of that specific program that they were volunteering for. And she spent 8 years writing to every single person and every single group she could get
don't
an
they,
address for.
Don't they monitor the correspondence? Don't the prison authorities read the mail?
Prison authorities don't usually read the mail unless they feel that they have a reason to. So if they're targeting a prisoner because they realize that the prisoner is agitating or talking to the media or doing something that would go against what they want, but prison authorities don't have the time or the patience to read every single letter to and from every single person. So it's specifically geared towards people who are considered problematic prisoners. But at the end of this 8 years, she finally found a church that was willing to sponsor a bus that brought about 50 children, or 50 women's children, I don't know how many children that is altogether, from Miami to Coleman, which is about 300 miles north. And for most of these women, it was the first time in over a decade that they'd seen their children. So, clandestinely. But this is not something that you can really point to as a visible form of organizing. It's not going to get into the newspaper, except maybe as a fuzzy human interest
kind of story, right? Exactly.
But it's not going to make like women rioted, you know, over this. That's not to say that women haven't rioted, but it's usually not the form that this kind of organizing takes.
So has this law been challenged in the courts, or has there been any kind of thrust to have it overturned?
I don't think so.
Harsh.
I think that most people didn't know about it when it happened, and it was billed as a way to quote-unquote release or free children who are in foster care for long periods of time for adoption. And I think that later studies have shown that when you free these children, they don't get adopted. They just languish in foster care until they turn 18, and then the foster care system kicks them out. So really they just don't have parents, legally speaking.
Right. All right, so that's an example of resistance. Can you talk about some others?
Okay, let's see. So another form of resistance is working around abuse issues. Over 50% of women who enter state and federal prisons or local jails have suffered some form of physical and or sexual abuse prior to their arrest and incarceration. And in several states, women have worked to develop domestic violence support groups. And this is especially noteworthy because they started them in the late 80s, early 1990s, when domestic violence and abuse wasn't really talked about. People weren't understanding the effects of battering. They weren't understanding that when women fought back, it often was after years and years and years of being battered and abused, and their history of being abused didn't come up in court, or it was dismissed, and so oftentimes they were sentenced to long sentences or life in prison without, you know, like the courts or anybody acknowledging that they had been abused. So in the late 1980s in Ohio, women formed a group specifically to support women who were doing long sentences and life in prison. And what they figured out was that so many of them were in prison for long periods of time because they had killed their abusers. And once they figured that out, they started doing support for each other. They started reading about domestic violence and its effects. But they also started the first mass clemency campaign, in which they petitioned then-Governor Celeste to consider clemency for all the women who had been incarcerated for killing their abusers. And this ended with, I think, about 25 women being released or being granted clemency. This was in 1990 at the Ohio Reformatory for Women in Marysville, Ohio.
Now, clemency exactly means what?
Clemency means that the governor is saying that they are pardoned, in effect, from their charge. So it resulted in many women being released, a couple of them who had been released already having it taken off their record and given an official pardon. And this resulted in women in California who were incarcerated for killing their abusers trying their own mass clemency campaign. So they petitioned then-Governor Pete Wilson to consider clemency for every single woman incarcerated for killing their abuser in the state of California. And Wilson said no, he would not go through these records, he would not consider this.
Right.
But he would take their letter and take all the signatures from that letter and consider those women as having petitioned for individual clemency. And in the end, he only granted clemency to 3, he denied it to 7, he made no decision on 24 of them.
Pete Wilson's a tough nut to crack.
But their efforts attracted the attention of outside advocates and attorneys who started then advocating on their behalf and doing educational and informative work around issues of battered women, of battering battered women in prison, what the laws or lack of laws around self-defense were. And to this day, this continues under the group Free Battered Women in California. So their efforts actually formed an outside group which continues to advocate for the release of women incarcerated for killing their batterers.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be reading on Friday, May 8th?
I'm going to be talking.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily reading.
Okay.
But, I will be talking specifically about incarcerated women, education, and resistance. So to tie it into the theme of sending books to prisoners and why it's so important.
Okay, Books Through Bars. How long has Books Through Bars been around?
Books Through Bars has in New York City has been around since 1996. It started as a small group operating out of the now-defunct Blackout Books, and it started to send historical and political material to people inside prison. And it was specifically material that people wouldn't necessarily get if they got donations from a church or a prison library, but materials that would actually make them start thinking a little bit more, a la George Jackson and the study groups in the 1970s.
Hmm. And you're continuing this work today?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Including getting in some fairly controversial political material?
We've gotten in some controversial political material. We've had controversial political material rejected.
Mm-hmm.
We've had World War III rejected from
Texas. World War III Illustrated.
Yes,
magazine.
World War III Illustrated has been rejected from many prisons in Texas.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Well, you know, there's a publication a couple of us used to work for that periodically would get requests for copies from prisoners, and it would invariably come back, you know, with, you know, the warden has determined that this publication is detrimental to the safety of the institution because pages 104 through 118 depict the manufacture of a controlled substance.
Yes. Do you care to mention which publication we're talking about here, Steve?
That was High Times. So yes. If you wanted to send an like a news article, you had to clip it out and send it. You couldn't just send them the whole issue.
Yeah, Over the years, I've received more ripped up copies of my magazine mailed to me by various institutions. On the other hand, sometimes people get them. It's weird. Isn't that true that it's really, you know, it's really, how would I put it?
Facility by facility?
Maybe even like guy on shift by guy on shift. Is that possible? Like,
it could be.
You know, you'll send the same magazine to the same place and one of them comes back and one of them doesn't on a different day.
Yes.
You know.
So it's kind of arbitrary.
All yes. Right.
Well, I should say that it is 12:30 in the morning on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. My name is Bill Weinberg, and we're speaking with Victoria Law, who is the author of Resistance Behind Bars, The Struggles of Incarcerated Women, from new from PM Press. As well as Seth DeBachman, who's got the new issue of World War III Illustrated. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it, Seth?
Sure. This is issue number 39. And the most obvious thing about it that you can't see is it has a beautiful cover by Eric Drucker, really one of the nicest covers he's ever done for our magazine. World War III is a political comic book that's been publishing out of the Lower East Side since 1979, and this is our 39th issue, and this is our first wordless issue. There are, the entire issue are comic strips with no words in them, well, maybe the title, but, you know, it's part of a, you know, we're sort of trying to put a new twist on a tradition of wordless novels that began at the beginning of the 20th century. People like Franz Masuriel and Lindward did these wordless woodcut novels. And so we decided to have a stab at it with the magazine. This issue was edited by Peter Cooper and, of course, contains more of Peter Cooper's really beautiful color comic strips about Oaxaca because he's been in Mexico for the last 2 years. And
so he witnessed everything that happened in Oaxaca.
He witnessed plenty of what happened in Oaxaca. Mm-hmm. He witnessed a lot of it. And he drew it. In his kind of loose sketchbook color style, which kind of mixes in, like, the scenery, the culture, and then the politics in a very balanced sort of way. And this is the new issue that just came out this month. And let's see who else in it. Sabrina Jones, Chuck Sperry. I've got a few pages in this too. Mac McGill has really beautiful work continuing his illustrations about Hurricane Katrina. Paula Hewitt has a piece in. Let's see. Rebecca Migdahl has a piece in. Really beautiful piece.
So can you tell me something about the Just Seeds prison portfolio project?
I don't know a lot about the prison portfolio project, but I do know a lot about the Just Seeds Collective, who are this really amazing group of younger political artists, younger by my standards because I'm over 50, but guys who have been doing an amazing amount of poster work over the last 10 years. And
They're the ones who were based out in the West Coast, right?
No, they're actually based, I think they started out in Chicago, and more of them live around here, too. I think Josh McPhee lives here now. But he does really interesting stencil work, really interesting poster work. And they have created, maybe, Vicky, do you know more about the Prison Portfolio Project?
The Prison Portfolio Project was created in conjunction with the 10th anniversary of Critical Resistance, which happened in September. So it was part of the big Critical Resistance 10 conference. And they asked, it's not just Seeds artists, it's also other artists that also have, they're also working around prison issues, to each create a print that addresses some aspect of the prison industrial complex. So there are prints about women, incarcerated women, there are prints about Native people in prison, there are prints about immigrant detention, there are prints about the fact that we're spending so much money locking people up and we're not spending money on resources to keep people out. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think, 20 or 25 prints, like all addressing various aspects of incarceration.
And what was Critical Resistance?
Critical Resistance is an organization that was formed, I think, in 1998, specifically with the lofty goal to abolish the prison industrial complex. And there are chapters throughout the United States, and each chapter works in different ways. The one in New York is based in the Bronx, and they've been doing a lot of fighting against having a local jail built in that neighborhood. There's one in New Orleans that's done a lot of work around getting amnesty for people who have been arrested and incarcerated for, quote-unquote, looting during Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. So each group takes on different issues that are specific to their area. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so all these folks are going to be, once again, announce the gig this Friday.
It's this Friday, May 8th, at ABC No Rio, which is at 156 Rivington Street on the Lower East Side.
Corner of Clinton.
And the corner of Clinton. It starts at 8 p.m., and it is $5 to get in. And all proceeds are going to be used for postage to mail free books and other literature to people incarcerated nationwide.
Very good. And on the question of raising money, I'm afraid it is now incumbent upon me to remind the listeners that there is only one radio station in New York City, on the East Coast, in America, or on planet Earth, where you are going to hear this kind of programming, and it is WBAI. And I dare say that this is the gravely endangered world's most important radio station. Now, note that I didn't say it's the world's most important gravely endangered radio station. I mean it is the world's most important radio station, and it is gravely endangered. Of all the stations in the Pacifica network, this is the one which is the most intransigently radical, which perhaps, accounts for the fact that there are always, very strong passions and emotions which are in play here at WBAI, and there's been a certain amount of debilitating factionalism and so on, none of which I have any interest in hushing up or sweeping under the carpet. But nonetheless, the amount of creativity and vitality here at WBAI continues to amaze me. Every day that I listen to it. When I think about the amount of history that this place represents and how it has been on the cutting edge of so many social struggles and so many profound cultural changes over the, how many years of its existence now? From
61, I think.
I believe so. Since 1961, somebody do the math, 61 to 2009?
Since 1948.
I'm sorry?
It's been around since 1948.
Well, no, the network has been around since 48. BAI has been around since, should know, 61, 62, thereabouts.
BAI is coming up on...
Somebody has to talk into a mic. If they're going to talk, they have to talk into a mic.
BAI is coming up on 50, I believe.
No, I'm gonna go online and do some searching because that's not right. The network, Pacifica Network, was founded.
Network or BAI?
I'm pretty sure BAI became a Pacifica station in like the late 40s, early 50s.
No. I'm gonna get the date right now since we're talking about it. But here, let's see what Wikipedia has to say about the question. thank God for the internet.
Yeah, except are the factions like putting up competing posts on Wikipedia?
Yeah, probably. But, you know, from all the way back in the early 1960s when this was, I mean, yeah, there was a BAI before then, but it didn't become affiliated with the Pacifica Network until, let's see, what year? History. Let's see, 1960. It was donated by the philanthropist Louis Schweitzer to the Pacifica Foundation in 1960. So there you go. And, you know, notoriously, this was the first radio station where Bob Dylan played live on the air way back in the early days. We invented freeform radio. Using we in a very general sense, because of course I was in diapers at the time, but people like Bob Fass and Steve Post and the other people of that era invented freeform radio, you know, WNYC and NPR and so on followed Pacifica's coattails in terms of being a radio station, which was and a radio network, which was not organized around the profit motive, but depended on the largesse of the listeners to survive, and thereby was an independent voice. But BAI, unlike NPR and NYC, never got in bed with the government, so we remained far more fastidiously independent than they ever did. And we've been through countless struggles, countless internal battles, and always somehow managed to land on our feet. And I'm afraid that now this is genuinely in question whether we are going to make it through the current crisis. Now, from a tactical standpoint, some people may wish that I wasn't bringing this up because, you know, you want to put on a happy face for the listeners. But I'm going to read an article which appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle on April 13th. About the 60th anniversary of KPFA, which is our sibling station in Berkeley, California. And there is a section of this article. Once again, this is April 13th, San Francisco Chronicle. A section of this article entitled New York Station's Debt, which is talking about the various challenges which KPFA in Berkeley, California, faces to its survival. The more immediate one can be traced to the financial problems at WBAI-FM in New York, one of its sister Pacifica stations, meaning KPFA's sister Pacifica stations. WBAI owes the foundation, meaning Pacifica, at least $800,000, according to Pacifica's interim chief financial officer, and that could eventually affect KPFA. Quote, "If one station is not healthy and not meeting its obligations," said interim CFO LaVarne Williams, "then funds generated by other stations would have to be used. That isn't happening right now. It could be really, really soon." End quote. 90% of KPFA's budget is supported by listener contributions. 90% of KPFA's budget is supported by listener contributions, and 10% comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I assume the breakdown is about the same here at WBAI. There you go. Even the mainstream press now is recognizing that there is a financial contagion here at WBAI, which could actually spread to the rest of the Pacifica network. Now, listeners are aware that we're in the middle of what appears to be some kind of a change of leadership here. I understand that the aforementioned LaVarne Williams, formerly the chief financial officer of National, is now the now the general manager here at WBAI for the moment. So I'm not the most au courant in terms of exactly what is happening, because the wheel is still very much in spin, and I'm just a programmer. I'm not involved in leadership or management of the station. But I will say, as I've said numerous times before, that the enemy here at WBAI is not one faction or another faction. The enemy is factionalism. And the enemy is the tendency which exists in all of the factions to put the supremacy of a particular faction ahead of the long-term interests of the radio station. So now if this report from the San Francisco Chronicle is to be believed, we have an $800,000 hole that WBAI needs to close. And I appeal to everybody who is listening to this radio station right now, who is not already a member of WBAI, to do their part to help close that gap and to keep this radio station on the air. The number is 212-209-2900, and there are some heroic volunteers waiting back in...
50, they want to pledge.
I'm sorry?
It's 50.
Oh, did I say 00?
Yes.
Thank you for the correction. 212-209-2900. 50, as opposed to the on-air number, which I just gave in knee-jerk manner, 212-209-2950.
Send some money.
And I will make an offer here to the first five people who pledge to this station tonight, whatever they pledge, even if they are pledging, you know, $25 or $10 or whatever they're pledging. The first five people will get a copy of the new issue of World War III Illustrated, and I'll mail them myself.
There you go. You heard that straight.
They have to leave your address, obviously.
Yes, well, of course, but they're going to have to give their address anyway, unless they donate by credit card. So, once again, the number is 212-209-2950. Let me emphasize that the minimum donation, well, there's no minimum donation per se. You can give anything that you can afford whatsoever, but the minimum donation to become a member of WBAI, a general membership donation, which affords you the right to vote for the
faction of your choice
on the LSB, the listener. Yeah,
what?
I'm sorry. Did you have some?
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Yeah. Sorry. Somebody was. I thought that maybe there was tally lag, and somebody was coming in from tally to give us some names to read over the air. On the LSB, there we go. There's somebody calling in. The local station board. Get the right to vote on the local station board by pledging a minimum of $25 for a general membership. If you pledge $50, you get a WBAI t-shirt, the regular t-shirt in gray and black. If you pledge $30, you get the special purple t-shirt. Now, that's interesting. If you pledge less, you get the special t-shirt, but if you pledge more, you get the regular t-shirt. That's a little bit counterintuitive, but it appears to be the case. Well, I highly recommend the special t-shirt because it was designed by Sydney Smith, and it's purple and gold, and it's got a lovely flying heart logo. It's got the Sufi symbol, which is very appropriate for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. So I strongly urge that you pledge $30 to get that. Get the special purple t-shirt, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. If you want a WBAI mug to drink your coffee out of in the morning, you can pledge $65. And if you want a WBAI cap, you can also pledge $65. If you want both the cap and the mug, you can pledge $100. And no matter what you pledge, the first five people will, once again, Seth, they'll be getting what?
They will be getting a copy of World War III Illustrated number 39. That is the latest issue with a beautiful cover by Eric Drucker, and it is the Wordless Comics issue.
So we're particularly asking people to call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and pledge $100. If we could just get six people in the next half hour to pledge $100 each, then we would be up to the amount which I consider to be the minimum respectable amount of $600 for me to go home feeling like the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade came through to save this radio station, which is really, unfortunately, in jeopardy of its very survival. And it could actually be lights out for WBAI in the months to come if we do not do spectacularly well this fund drive. So I'm really appealing to people to, you know, put aside the factionalism and to put the survival of the station first. Because if we don't do that, there isn't going to be anything left to fight over. Do you understand? There's not going to be anything left to fight over. This is not a joke. Unless people come through and support WBAI at this extremely critical hour, there is not going to be anything left to fight over. So if you want to continue the petty factionalism, at least make a pledge and get your right to vote in the local station board for the faction of your choice. 212-209-2950. Once again, if we could just get six people pledging $100 over the course of the next, say, 10 or 20 minutes, or optimistically, 5 minutes, or let's say 6 minutes, a minute each for each of those people to call in. Over the course of this next 6 minutes, if we could get people pledging $100 each to get not only the WBAI cap, not only the WBAI mug, but also the new issue, hot off the presses, of World War III Illustrated. Then we could move on, and we could hear a little bit more from what are you guys calling yourselves these days? Are you calling?
There is no name.
The World War III Illustrated Band, or
it has no name. It's a collective of individual people and. I think
Eric, you got to move closer to the mic. You really do.
This is a collective of musicians and artists, and you know, it's everybody is equal. So there is a real no name for the group, as far as I see.
Okay. Well, whatever they call themselves or fail to call themselves, if people will just call in and we can get the tally up to $600 in the next 6 minutes, then. We can hear some more from them. We can hear another performance and get another taste of what you can hear this Friday at 8 p.m. for a very, very, very moderate sum indeed, much, much less than it costs to become a member of WBAI at ABC No Rio at 156 Rivington Street, one block south of Houston on the Lower East Side.
And if you can get the tally up to 1,000, then we won't play.
That's supposed to be a greater incentive than playing. Okay, so once again, I heard some telephones ringing, so maybe we've got tally lag. But once again, just to remind people that the number is 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Please put your shoulder to the wheel in this real critical time of need. Because if WBAI does not have a successful marathon this time around, you know, I really don't know if we are going to be around to fight another day. Just, you know, a few weeks or months down the line. It has really become that serious. And
what's the best kind of nation? Donation.
There you go. That's a good anarchist slogan.
That's an old Tompkins Square Park homeless guy slogan.
Ah, there you go. So, once again, somebody's calling. Follow the example of this very enlightened individual who is calling 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and pledge a minimum of $25 for a general membership to WBAI. If you can't afford $25, pledge $10, pledge $5, whatever you can afford. But if you want to be a member, you've got to pledge the $25. If you want the regular T-shirt, pledge $50. If you want the special T-shirt, pledge $30. I recommend the special T-shirt. If you want the mug or the cap, pledge $65. If you want both the cap and the mug, pledge $100. And that's really what we're asking, is we're asking people to pledge $100 to send a message to whoever is going to be the new boss here at WBAI, offbeat anarchist oriented programming such as the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade has got a place here, and programming which is sort of in the old freeform tradition which WBAI pioneered has got a place here. Now that the other tradition which WBAI pioneered has now become much more hegemonic, which is that of advocacy radio and activist radio, which I certainly have no problem with. I certainly very, very strongly support and see the need for advocacy radio. And to a certain extent, what we do here at the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade is also advocacy radio. But it's also more... it's also got more of a free-form feel and more of a sense of exploring ideas rather than expounding them. And there really needs to be both at WBAI. And I think that the format of having the more advocacy-oriented radio on during the daylight hours and having the more free-form-oriented radio on after dark, when we can afford to, you know, get loose and funky and let our hair down, is a good one. So I hope that whoever becomes, whichever way the deck is reshuffled, if in fact it seems like it's being at least somewhat reshuffled here at WBAI, I hope that this balance is going to be maintained. So please, once again, I see that the tally hasn't moved. I'm hoping that means that we have tally lag. The number is 212-209-2950. The heroic volunteers are standing by to take your pledge. If we could just get six people calling in to pledge $100 each, we'd be in the clear, and we could hear some more from the nameless musical conglomeration which we just heard from. There's another call. Very good.
Hi, this is Rachel from Account Services.
Well, it seems that we're up to $100, $105. We're up into the triple-digit category, so this is a big breakthrough. So I'm hoping that many more calls will follow shortly. So once again, that pledge of $100 will get you the cap, the mug, and the general membership to WBAI. And in addition, the first five callers, no matter what they pledge, even if they pledge less than the $25 to become a... For the general membership, they will still receive in the mail a copy of the new edition of World War III Illustrated, hot off the presses, personally mailed to you by Seth Tobachman, longtime co-editor of this esteemed publication. So, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I should say the music that we opened with, by the way, was a real gem entitled Soul of the East by Buddy Sarkeesian and his Mecca 4 with Fred Elias from way back in, the 50s, I guess, maybe the 60s. Kind of nightclub music with a sort of Eastern Mediterranean kind of feel to it. And Max Schmid found this in his relentless hunting in the record stores of Queens, I assume. And he said that it's good pitching music, and I agree. So maybe we'll hear a little bit more from Buddy Sarkeesian in the 5 minutes, which will take us to the hour. And I'll go back into the tally room and see if there's anybody who wants their name read on the air to give them special personal thanks for putting their shoulder to the wheel to see that this extremely vital institution survives. Okay? And we're not joking. We mean survives. So, once again, the number is 212-209-2950. Excuse me. The first five people to call in, if we haven't already exceeded that, will receive a copy of the new edition of World War III Illustrated. And we're asking people, if they can, to pledge that $100 to get the cap and the mug, as well as the general membership and the copy of World War III Illustrated. I see a couple of people are calling 212-209-2900 as if we were taking calls on the air tonight, which we are not. So don't waste your time. We're not putting you on the air. Tonight is not the night for you to call the on-air line. It's time for you to call the pledge line. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950 is the number. So, why don't we hear a little bit more from, I need to get some water as well, apparently, from Buddy Sarkisian and his Mecca 4 with Fred Elias. And then we'll see what's going on with the tally, see if we're going to break $600, which I consider to be the absolute minimum respectable sum.
So, oh, we just got up to 235.
That's a start. Here, somebody say something. Somebody vamp.
Did Buddy Sarkisian have a daughter named Cheryl?
Why? Do you know a Cheryl Sarkisian?
There's a fairly well-known woman whose real name was Cheryl Sarkisian Bono.
Oh?
Cher.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How interesting. We're going to have to do some internet research and find out.
I don't think so, but...
It's always possible.
Must be Armenian if his last name ends in I-A-N.
That's for sure.
We're up to 285. Come on, people.
212-209-2950. Dance over to your checkbook, then dance over to the phone. 212-209-2950. It's all up to you. Dead air. Oops. Okay, we appear to be up to $315. So I'd say we're halfway there. 212-209, actually more than halfway there. $15 more than halfway there. So come on, we need three more people to rise to the occasion and pledge $100 for the cap, the mug, the general membership, and the copy of World War III Illustrated. So a big, big, big thank you to Joseph Gossin, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, of New Hyde Park, to Jeff Mullen of East Brunswick, New Jersey, to Nadia Taha of Forest Hills, to Bob Curtis of Manhattan, I assume. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That would be Brooklyn. Forgive me. 11217 is Brooklyn. And Jesse Haywa of Manhattan. Thank you so much, Jesse. And I am going to pass.
Hey, hello, Jesse.
What's that?
Hey, Jesse. Hello.
Hey, Jesse. Hello, indeed. He comes through for us a lot, so thanks, Jesse. Even though I know we have political disagreements with him, and that's the best thing about WBAI, you know, actually allowing a voice and dialogue and mutual respect with people that you have strong political disagreements with. That should be what this place is about. And maybe, I mean, it is to a degree what this place is about, and maybe it'll be more and more about that in the future if we get past this crisis. So I'm going to pass these pledge cards on to Seth so he can write down, is this, how many is this? This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here you go. This is the first 5. So you can write down these addresses, Seth, and send these 5 solid citizens their copy of World War III Illustrated. So that's the first 5. Thank you very much, Seth. That's really right on of you to donate these copies and to donate your labor and postage as well. WBAI and the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade are in deep gratitude, as well as to everybody who pledged. But once again, we want to get more people to pledge. We really need to make $600 tonight, and we only have 25 minutes left. So once again, I'm appealing to anybody who is within the sound of my voice, who is not a member of WBAI, to become a member of WBAI and to help this place survive. It would really, really be a terrible, terrible blow against free speech, against alternative culture, against political elbow room and basic freedom in New York City and the United States of America and planet Earth if this stage this place goes under. So let's not let that happen, okay? Let's not let that happen. The number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Dance over to the telephone while we're going to hear another number. It sounds like you guys are getting ready to play. 212-209-2950. And I've got to lift the tone arm from the record because I still hear it click, click, clicking in the background, making me nostalgic for the days of vinyl. Do I detect a Pink Floyd bass line there?
Yeah, considering that you're asking for money.
Yes, of course.
Never one to not overstate the obvious.
What are you doing, guys?
What's this piece called?
I think we're doing a piece called I Saw a Man Bleed to Death. Once I saw a man bleed to death. That night, people walked to the movies over his blood. Because I did not throw up, I thought that I was not upset. But later, I discovered that the dead man was living inside my body. In fact, I found that I was full of things that I had seen on the street. And I could not control myself. I was not the only one. All my friends were eating each other. I had to do something fast. Their weapons
won't protect you. People aren't out to get you. You don't. For yourself. The dog imitates the master, but only eats the leftovers. He has power over another man's life, but not over his own. He can't move.
Levels were totally maxed out, so I hope that it wasn't coming across as total distortion to the listeners at home, but it sounded good here in the studio, that's for sure. And it seems to have worked, because we're up to $510, I believe, so if we could just get a couple more people calling in, if we just get one person calling in to pledge $100, we'll be up over the $600 hump. 212-209-2950. Once again, I don't know what to call you guys because you don't have a name, but you can hear them this Friday. Somebody tell me where and when.
ABC No Real. Abogado Notario.
ABC No Real, 156 Rivington Street at 8 p.m. Friday,
a benefit
May 8th.
For books through bars.
And it will be us, myself, Seth Tabachman, Andy Laetes, Steve Wishnia, Eric Blitz, and we'll also be appearing with Peter Cooper, who's going to be showing slides from his sketches of his recent trip to Oaxaca. He spent the last 2 years in Oaxaca during the crisis there. And also people from the Just Seeds Collective, the poster collective that's ripping the place up these days. And Vicky Law will be talking about her book, Resistance Behind Bars. So you got to come. Friday, May 8th, 8 p.m.
Resistance Behind Bars, the struggle of incarcerated women. So I see you've got a chapter in here about women in the immigration detention system as well.
Yes. That was something that I stumbled upon quite by accident, and it was something that wasn't really being looked at by people doing work around immigrant detention,
right.
And it definitely wasn't being looked at by people doing work around prison issues. And when people were looking at immigrant detention, they were mostly looking at men in immigrant detention. There wasn't a lot of attention being paid to what was going on among women in INS detention or ICE detention facilities. I think there is some number of – there are more women – immigrant detainee women who go to state and local jails rather than immigrant detention because there are less beds for them.
Hmm.
And so there they face...
Well, generally, ICE farms out to the state and local jails.
But more so with women than with men. Hmm. And there they have less services. When they go to state and local jails, the people, the prison administrations aren't willing to deal with the special needs that come with people who are immigrant detainees, like language, like culture, like cultural issues. They don't want to deal with having to, like, you know, like get a medical translator, for instance, or having the guards, you know, having guards or staff members there that can translate for them. They don't want to deal with having their forms translated. So there have been instances in which women have gotten penalized for just not knowing the rules. Like the guard says, go stand in that line, and the woman only speaks Mandarin or Fujianese and doesn't understand what somebody in Laredo, Texas is telling her to say in English, there's going to be a huge problem.
Aren't they legally obliged to provide translation? I'm sure that it's, you know, honored more in the breach than in the...
They're obliged to provide translation for immigration court.
Mm-hmm.
But for the day-to-day running of it, wardens have said things like, you know, we can't accommodate them any more than we already are.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen in researching this is that oftentimes people who are working around immigrant detention, particularly in cases with refugees and asylum seekers, will posit the injustices that immigrant detainees face as they're not criminals, they didn't do anything wrong, they shouldn't be treated like this, rather than saying these are human rights violations, nobody should be subjected to unsafe conditions, unsanitary conditions, overcrowding, sexual harassment, sexual abuse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and not posit that, position them against each other, that it's okay for people who have transgressed our laws to face all these injustices, and people who are, you know, coming here and seeking asylum and being put in immigrant detention shouldn't. So I think that there's been a gap in what, in the ways that this has been looked at until fairly recently.
Which hopefully your book is a bridge towards closing and making the connections. It sounds like a very, very important work. I look forward to reading it. And you'll have copies for sale, I assume, on Friday.
Yes, there will be copies for sale on Friday. There will be copies of all of Seth's books on Friday as well.
And the new issue of World War III Illustrated.
Yes.
And I see Seth is assiduously writing down the addresses of the first five people who called. So a big shout-out and thank you to those five people who stepped up to the plate and were lucky enough to get the copy of the new issue of World War III Illustrated in addition to the T-shirt or the cap or the mug or the tote bag. Oh, right. Did I mention the tote bag? You know, the tally stands at $510. So if one person called in and pledged for the tote bag at $75, which is canvas and green lettering, that presumably says WBAI, then we would still not quite be up to 600, but we'd be a lot closer. So can we get one person calling 212-209-2950 to pledge $75 to become a member of WBAI and to get the, it's a talkback tote bag. There you go. So if you're a big fan of talkback with Hugh Hamilton, as I am, you're definitely going to want to call in 212-209-2950 and pledge that $75 and get that talkback tote bag. So, get over to the phone and do it. Let's get that tally up to $600. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Or just pledge. There, one person would do that. If one person would pledge $75 for the tote bag, and then one person would just pledge $25 for a general membership, we'd be there. We'd be at $600. In fact, we'd be above $600. And then I'd go home really happy knowing that at least the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade listeners came through to keep WBAI alive in a very, very, very critical hour of need. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Do you guys have one more song that you want to do to go out with? We don't have to do it right now. I'm just but asking if you're prepared to perform one more.
Why don't you guys do the musical number you're going to start out with?
Okay, give me a second.
There we go. 212-209-2950. Hopefully that's somebody calling $75 for a talkback tote bag. 212-209-2950. Hopefully that's somebody calling in to pledge $75 for a talkback tote bag. 212-209-2950. or just pledge $25 for the general membership. Whatever you can do, just, you know, do it. Just put your shoulder to the wheel, because we do want WBAI to be here to fight another day at this very important historical juncture. And once again, even if you are, you know, a real hardcore faction head of one faction or another, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. I really appeal, at least for this much unity, the unity of supporting WBAI, regardless of which faction you support. Because if this place goes down, then, you know, there isn't going to be anything left to fight over. And then what are you going to do with the rest of your life, apart from take pot shots at your opponents on the blue board? 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Please do the right thing and help this place survive. It's very, very important. 212-209-2950. So you guys ready to hit it? So I can go back in the tally room, see what's going on? Thanks, guys. Once again, all the levels were totally maxed out, even though I had all the mics potted almost all the way down. So I hope that didn't come across as a solid wall of distortion to our listeners at home. But
it was Blanche, but it was.
What's that?
I said, but it was Blanche, but it was.
I'm sorry, Blanche?
You know this station has a history of the fire music. And
The mic.
All right. The blimp. There was a time many, many years ago when BAI ran a whole lot of shows by a whole lot of the, what were called then the new jazz or the new thing or the fire music people.
Mm.
It was I believe it was called the Free Music Store was where a lot of them played.
Mm.
And, you know, hearing some of the tapes again or archives of that stuff has been really great. All the more reason
to make sure this place survives. Now, I must note that the tally stands at $565, and we have now it's 1:30. We have no time left. But, well, okay, we have 1 minute left until it's technically time for Weaponry with Tom Whisker coming up imminently. So will somebody in that 1 minute please pledge $50 so we can at least go home with having raised $600? Will somebody please pledge $50? And get yourself a WBAI t-shirt and become a member of WBAI, 212-209-29.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.